I have not received a single apology. I don't know whether you get any letters.
I just emailed it to Conax.
So I have not received any apology thus far, so I don't know. We have been raising this issue of attendance, that members are not attending satisfactorily and they don't apologize in advance so that we know what is the quorum of the meeting. And our officials are coming all the way from Pretoria to address us, and sometimes it is not really a good sign if we discourage them to attend our meetings because of our own attendance. But I hope it will improve at some point. I also have good news that I got a watch, so I won't ask time all the time. I'm empowered. Somebody empowered me with a watch, so late today, as it was only availed this morning. Temuko did indicate that he's not going to be here today, so you are going to take us through. So, honorable members, if you are very nice and you concentrate on these issues, it means we can finish our bill by tomorrow. You say, tomorrow is Thursday. If you are nice and well, we're done tomorrow. Well, I don't know what... Let's hear what is the comment.
I was saying, Chairperson, if you can finish by this afternoon.
End of the bill, yes, but you still need another document that is not yet here in front of us. Isn't it? It's an arrangement. Is it here today? Oh, then we can work and finish today. I'll be very happy if we do that because I will be able to deal with paperwork in the office. Okay? But the issue is you can't decide on documents when others are not here. You don't correct. This is a bill, remember. You can't take decisions when you don't correct. No, you don't correct members. A committee is 13 members, and you are not half of that. So even if we finish the bill, you still need to vote when we come back. It means we'll have to go through the tedious process of the things that we're dealing with when they are not there. And that's why people behave in the manner in which they're doing. They know that we can't conclude because we need to have an indication whether they agree or not. And we only have 4 ANC members. I think maybe we should advise Zura. You'll have to advise us on that one. I don't have the copy of the rules with me.
You may.
The statement of desirability is how will we read it out and who is adopting it? Because it's not a quorum.
No, you can discuss it, but you'll have to wait for a quorum to make decisions, any decisions.
Whatever that we decide here is going to be a futile exercise in the absentia. We'll have still to come back at some point, sit like this and take them through what we were discussing because there's no quorum. So discussing we can, but deciding we can't. You understand, honorable members? So let's go through it for the benefit thereof. Yeah, I'm having a problem with this place. I'm a rhinosinusitis, and every time they open this aircon, I block. So I won't be in a position to speak if I'm blocked. And I don't know why I'm getting cold air when it's not even spring yet. So I complained about it yesterday, but it keeps on continuing. So I won't be in a position to speak because my sinus will just block. It will swell and block. So I don't know where it's going. So, honorable members, let's give Jessica an opportunity to take us through what she has prepared. But please, these issues are not new. This is your proposal. So I really expect you to be very nice when you're dealing with this part. Because it's your very old proposal that you have adopted over a period of 2 weeks. Okay, Jessica?
Madam Chair, there were some parked issues that were not addressed.
I apologize. It's an omission from my side. I hope there won't be long debates. But the issue is the very same pact issues. You see what is going to happen because of lack of attendance. At some point, we need to come back to the very same issues. And remember, we did not pack them because we ourselves lack clarity. We're trying to accommodate Honorable Blanchet. So let's see what we do. On the news, were told that there was a report that says expropriation has been taken back because of legal battles between parliamentary legal advisors and state legal advisors, whereas it's not the statement I have issued. So I don't know whether it's members who speak to the media or whether it's PMG that gave such a report, but it's very unfortunate that we always have unofficial positions reported to the media. So I do not want to make a big fuss of it, because if I follow it up, they're going to make a hullabaloo out of this issue. But it's quite unfortunate because we did issue a statement. I think also copies must be availed to members, the statement we issued yesterday.
The first part issue was the definition of built environment. Adhikari had concerns regarding the definition of built environment. She's had a chance to reconsider. I think she should address us on her thoughts on that definition of that.
It's an issue that was not only raised by her, it's an issue that has been raised during the public hearings, that the word physical world might mean a number of things that doesn't necessarily affect the built environment. So the reason why we're packing it, we're trying to see that we don't overstep our mandate in terms of trying to enact for the built environment by also involving people beyond this environment. Because it says physical world. Physical, somebody argued that it can even mean about immovable assets or movable, because it's physical world. So we said, can't we find a different wording that means something closer to that without using the word physical world? Because for the first that it says physical, the built environment is not only physical, is it? Is aviation regulation physical?
Okay, the definition of a built environment is the use of the word physical world is in the definition of built environment is further limited by the use of the words intentionally created through science and technology. So you limit physical world like that. And further, you would look at the professional bodies board that are established in terms of Section 15 of this Act. That will be limited further in respect of the built environment professions, which the minister would regulate there. And then it's further limited in terms of the scope of work, which would be prescribed in terms of this act.
Yeah.
And would then...
The same argument you advance. People may even say, does really science and technology only...
Mm.
Remember that. That was a follow-up debate. People were saying, but if you say in science and technology itself is not only residing in the field. People further explain. It's quite technical, highly technical, but we need to find ways of closing it, not to be misinterpreted. Because if I always say legal ambiguity becomes the problem in legislation, because if it's subject to any interpretation by anybody who perceives that to be this, if we're not precise in the type of wording we use, then it becomes a challenge, because it can be challenged in court. People can go and argue against science and technology or physical walls. Is that what you want? So I thought maybe, but if there's no creativity, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I'm not as good as you in terms of law. So maybe let's have a debate. Let's hear what they got to say, and then...
Going to be very short today, it doesn't seem so.
Yes, on this one, I understood the motivation of the department. I have the concerns that you have in that it is wide. I accept that clause 15 kind of brings it back within the scope. That is why one of my options were that leaving it undefined is actually easier, because you don't then have this wide definition that you're relying on the content to narrow it, because then it would have its meaning in its context in the clause. But I also have no objection to now leaving the definition as it is. But that is a policy decision. I focus on what legal ambiguity could arise. But I'm satisfied that the legal ambiguity won't come about after hearing the department's motivation about the limitation in the context of the bill.
How do we cover that so that it's explained maybe in some footnotes? Do we have to put, because this motivation then it suffices, how do we make everybody else to understand it in that way? Because the explanation clarifies it, but the definition doesn't. You see, if somebody conceives a different view, how do we clarify if the definition doesn't cover? Can't we have a word that says, that accommodates limiting it to science and technology? How can you do that in the wording?
Firstly, Adhikari suggested that we actually leave out the definition of built environment. We cannot do that. We cannot leave that out. We needed to. The reason we had it wide as well was to also cater for the disciplines within the engineering council, and we needed that to be wide to include that, to allow them for the limitation to come in the definition of the scope of work in the section 15 for the establishment of the board, and for in the definition of the scope of works. Right, so that's why we need to have it abroad. The other thing is that the definition that of built environment is an international definition that's used, and that's the technical people that have given it to us. So, that is basically internationally recognized as definition, and the use of the word physical world.
Well, I believe there's enough motivation. Even if it arises, then we can defend that. So I think it suffices. It's one of the issues which we will highlight, maybe the statement when we define, I think it will give more clarity, because I still believe at the end we need to have a statement to clarify on all issues that were raised as concerns to further explain or to expand our explanation. So part of this, Jessica, I think it needs to be noted for further clarification so that we issue out in a statement that clarifies all that, because those people are not here to understand how do we finalize on it. Okay, then let's move to the next point. Well, honourable members, are you okay with that? Honourable members? It's technical. Yes. Yes. But I think the way they argue suffice. Okay, let's then move to the next point.
The next park issue was on clause 4.1N. There was a suggestion to include the words taking due cognizance of the difference between the professions. This was discussed, and that issue was actually parked. The department thinks that suggestion is reasonable and should be included in the bill. The committee has to still decide on that issue.
Honourable members, our officials believe that this is a reasonable request to add after professional board and taking due cognizance of the differences. Where is it now? It flew away. Huh? You took it away. Taking due cognizance of the differences between the professions. What page is this?
Page four.
4.1N. I don't know how to say this in legal lingo. How do you say this? 4, subsection 1?
Subsection 1.
And the end, what do you call it?
Paragraph.
Jeez. Quite a lot of things.
It's on line
section
29.
Section 4, subsection 1, paragraph N. Yes. Honorable members. There's no harm?
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed? I'm worried about Honorable Member when she is paging a document. It seems as if she can't find it. Johnny, can you help her with the pages? Do you have the latest copy of Honorable Khadem because you were not there yesterday? Johnny, do you still have additional copies for Mr. Khadem? You page for her?
May I add that the reason that we actually...
They can't see the page. Are you okay, Honorable Mewan? So can we pass the point, Honorable Members? Yes? No, not page 4. Is that page 4 of the bill or is it the note?
It is page 4 of the bill, line 29.
And then on the notes?
On the note, yes.
Page 6, I suppose. Is it page 6? The latest one is number. It's missing having an old one. You need to get this
page. Page 6 on the notes.
Should we pass the point to number members? I get very worried when you are quiet because I don't know what you think. Can you see the dark block? Make it black. They won't see? Can you see the highlighted area? Did you blow it? Yes. That's the point, Honourable Member. I think Ms. Khatami does not have the latest copy, Johnny. Can you avail the latest copy of the notes? I'm worried, Honourable Members, if you don't give me a go-ahead to pass this point, we're losing time. Can't you make a copy, Jordan? You don't have an additional copy of the notes, of the list? Yes. There's a member who was not there yesterday. The notes. Can somebody take my copy and make copies very quick? Adam, can't you take my copy and make copies? I don't know how many of these members does not have. How many are we two? Look, how many is it? What is the code?
6,000.
Yeah, we do have a quorum. So we can. Honorable members, we do have a quorum now, so we can take decisions. But when I leave, we don't have a quorum. When I go to the political committee, we don't have a quorum. No, it was only 11 for yesterday. We set only for Tuesday. So when I leave, we are not a quorum. We're only a quorum now because I can vote. No, we'll proceed on these issues and I will come back and agree on everything you said. Isn't it? The best way? And I will pray the chairperson to allow me to leave the political committee. I don't know why do I have such a lot of committees. Okay, I still need you to say that you agree with this point so that we can pass. So that it's the corner that you agree. Because we are voting. Agreed? Okay, let's move to the next point. My computer is blank.
Clause 15.1.
Bring it back to the normal person.
You will not really know how much members need it. They really need it. Well, we need digital ones. It's a pity that Parliament has invested in them and they will have to sell them for digital. I did suggest that you must get new computers. If I need to put it in the report, I will suggest that it's big.
The next one, park issue, was on clause 15.1. There was a suggestion that the word may should be replaced by either must or shall. The minister must or shall establish a professional board. With regard to a built environment profession, we actually rejected that because we said that the minister must, we use the word may because of the minister will then have the power to later on, if she wants to include other professions, then she may then establish professional boards in respect of other professions that we want to regulate or should be regulated under built environment.
But why did we pack it? What was the reason?
The committee had not decided, wanted to park that to just to consider it on the issue of must and shall.
Honourable
members of the committee wanted to consider.
Honourable members, any suggestion?
I think that
there's a legal language there, because if you say shall, actually, if you say shall, if the minister is not able to do that in a particular point in time, it can be subjected to litigation processes. People say you must do this. I don't think we need to. Let's allow the legal advisor to explain this story around must and may, and because there is something about it. Korea?
Yeah, if the minister must, after consultation with the council, establish, then one wonders what the point of the consultation is, if he must in any event establish it. Because one would assume that the minister needs a discretion as to whether it is required or not. I would go along with may. Must also would impose a time constraint that he has to do it immediately, and that he has to do it in respect of every profession, every built environment profession, whether or not it's required. So there's no discretionary aspect.
To add on what she said, can we imagine the situation where there is a profession that only has two people and they believe that they must be a board? After consultation with those two people, the minister must establish a board. There's a financial implication, there's many other implications. Yes, so it will limit the usage of the minister's discretion if it's a must. Because people say the law says you must, irrespective of the merits of it, you must. Then here's people who want a vote, and then so if it's, I think we say may, we give her and him the latitude to use their discretion. Yes, he. Actually, it's what he, but it's not like he's going to give up when we come back. He's still going to demand that we go back and discuss important issues that we did not, the ANC just ran over, you know, there's another gimmick when he came, but I think we have discussed it, so we'll explain to him how we discussed it. Because I still believe that we shouldn't discuss along party lines, but to have a substantive discussion. So if we can't convince him, let it be. But we agree, honorable members. Thank you. We move to the next point. I don't trust your computer, Jessica. You know by now. I can borrow you mine. I really don't. I can literally ask donations from members and we buy you a Macintosh. I'm not so sure about this. We're the state of the art department. You know, we're the ones that do things. So we need to reflect that in our tools. Adam, I think you should tell the minister I said so. Well, yours doesn't look impressive. It looks like a briefcase, you see. We need something very small and more effective. I think we've got about 5-6 packed issues. I took advantage that you are noting them. Adam, who's making copies? Is it Johnny? Because now I noted them in my copy. Can you take us through the revised one in the meantime? The education law. Yeah, take us through those ones in the meantime. Huh? Yes. But I know they are because I
seem to indicate that the one POC issue was the consultation with the Portfolio Committee or Parliament on the regulations, which Adhikari was supposed to advise after consulting with the state law advisor on that. I think that was the last POC issue.
They could be for Mr. Khadeb, so I can't speak on any matter for now because I don't set on my document. But let's agree that the majority, because I know most of them are on the NQF that are remaining, so I thought maybe we'll...
The one on the NQF, we said that we will address it in the... we will draft the provisions in the A-list and we will address it like that when we're addressing the A-list. So those were all the sections that deals with education. So we weren't going to deal with it on the... Sorry.
The one. Do you think we will finish today when Jessica has produced a document this week? Forget about finishing today. Because
I'm worried because I thought that they would zoom immediately to those issues that relate. Because if it's that thick, when are we going? Because unless perhaps they had identified those ones that exactly related to the bill, so that we know we are done with that. There's an understanding about that clause. If we are on the right track. But if the document is that big, it means they have not completed their work.
No, they did. The issue is, have they highlighted in the A list?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What we've done is that we've created two: one an A list, and then two is the bill incorporating the A list. The bill incorporating the A list, we've highlighted where we've made the omissions and the insertions. Okay, so we can easily zoom in on those provisions where the amendments are made, instead of looking at going towards line by line and having a look at the box. So we don't need to do that.
No, that one we do. We do need it. We might not do it today. We can do it when we come back. I will tell you why. People will want to look at the A list word for word, whether the new amendments have been incorporated. We can skip that because this is the big document that will want us to know. We can go to the smaller version, and then when we come back, we because this is the one that we finally adopt. So it doesn't matter. We can still do, but I would have preferred that we finish everything this week. So I still insist that if we can't finish this one today, let's come tomorrow, because we were scheduled for a meeting tomorrow anyway. We finish this so that everything is done, so that the bill is sent and then the latest copy is brought in when we come back. Because we're only breaking for about 1 week. On the 15th, we'll be debating this bill. That's why we're trying to get an additional day, so that on Monday we look at our own work and prepare for the debate. So I need to talk to Mr. Lowe to have our bill shifted for Tuesday, because we're supposed to debate it on Monday. So meaning that if we leave here, we don't even meet each other, we're going to meet each other when we debate. It's not possible.
Can I make a suggestion that because you are going to go through the amendment anyway, would you not rather, because the amendments are in the bill already, go through clause by clause? If you are going to do that, you will see the amendment. If there's a debate around those amendments, then you can do it, so that you know you've gone through it. Whether you finish it today or tomorrow, at least you would have gone through the process, because this will be a bit of a duplication if you are going to go through this and do this again.
Jessica, did you incorporate the NQF in the incorporated A list, or you made them separate?
I've addressed them in both documents. In both documents.
We can just deal with one document. But remember that we have not yet received a presentation on the transitional arrangement.
Do you want the presentation first on the transitional arrangement?
Huh? The final document. When I was on there. But you've made so many changes. It's fine.
we presented, unfortunately we were not there, we submitted a document, but we have got another document that is in a PowerPoint form. But in terms of the actual transitional arrangements themselves and the changes that we have effected,
but
after
I
the
changes,
comments.
I said that the issues that I suggested after that presentation,
I'm not sure if
the
they
initial document you presented, we later spoke to it. It was the day when we were speaking to it. I know you presented it when I was not there, but after looking at it, even until yesterday, there were certain things that we believe that still needed to be incorporated in it. So if you believe that all the work is done, we'll look at it. We can always deal with it. It's not like it's important for the bill. It's more of the oversight tool we'll use for later stages. And when we respond to questions that might be raised, we'll say, no, this matter we've addressed it, it will be dealt with by a particular framework. But it's fine. Because remember that you still needed to present also the final financial model. That's what I'm saying. Don't forget that it's some... we don't have to deal with those issues now, but let's not say we've done it. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because we still need to come back to so many issues that we raised. And, yeah. Okay. Now let's concentrate on this one. I believe we can try to do it today and finish. If we don't, we can finish it tomorrow. But at least by tomorrow we finish everything, especially the bill. Yeah, honorable members? Okay.
Chair, are we looking at the bill incorporating the suggested A-list amendments? That's what we're looking at. The first inclusion that we've made in the bill is basically the arrangement of sections. The bill is a lengthy bill, and we didn't have that included previously. We've now included it. It just makes easy reading of the bill. Okay, so that is what we've included here.
You are following one double members, no? If you don't, you just watch the screen, then you will see where they are.
I proceed? Okay. The next amendment is made on page 5, the definition of candidate. There was a suggestion.
Is this whole document taking us through that? Because, yeah, but why don't I have it?
The ball.
I have got this one. Even if Blanche is not there, we don't do it for Blanche, we do it for ourselves. Yes, the due process. Because PNG can say we rush through the processes. Isn't it that that's what you report about us? That way, Jessica.
I'm just trying to, for him to get it onto the screen. Okay, we'll start again. This is the A list. I'm going to then first take you through the A list and then show you how it's incorporated into the bulk. Okay, we look at it on the A list first. The first one on page 2 of the bulk, we've included before definition the arrangement. That is on, and if you look at then the bill incorporating the amendment, it is on page 2 of that. That's where it's inserted. Can you see that? To members, in case you don't understand how you do it, it means you must take out your old bill and you must take the incorporated A list, which is very thick, and another small that says proposed amendments. Now, if Jessica says point one, in page one, it says on page one before the definitions insert, it means when you look at your own bill, where it says definitions, just above it, after B it enacted, you will insert arrangement of sections. I hope you understand how we're doing. So you can be able to do that on your own bill and compare it with the new incorporated. Do you understand now? Okay, let's proceed. Okay, item 2 on the proposed amendment. Item 2 on page, I've got the, it says page 1, but it's actually on page 2 of the bill, line 14, after the word person. This is the definition of candidate. After the word person, there was a suggestion that this definition should be aligned to the...
You need to be very slow, you know, as the... So they follow, because if they don't follow, they lose you. So if you say page 4, allow them to page 4, then you indicate where you are. I'm sorry about that, but that's how they have enough time to page. We are in page 4 of the proposed amendment.
Page 4 of the proposed amendment.
Yes.
Item 2 on page 4.
Yes.
Refers to on page, it says page 1 of the bill, but it's actually page 2 of the bill.
Yes.
Line 14 of the bill.
14.
That actually deals with the definition of candidate. There was a suggestion that definition should be aligned to the definition of a professional, just the wording. We have aligned that. You will see there it now reads, means a person. We've deleted registered as such in A, and we've inserted who is registered as such in any of the both environment professions. That is then aligned to the definition of professional. So it's just for sake of consistency. Okay. Item 3. On page 4 of the proposed amendments, it refers to on page 1, it's still page 2 of the bill, in line 27. There was a suggestion that we should insert the word rule. You would find that it has been so inserted. Page 2, line 27. It's the definition of prescribe. We've inserted the word or rule at the end. You'll see on the incorporated document, it's on page 6, the first line on page 6. May I proceed? Next item, item 4 on page 5 of the proposed amendment. Here we're dealing with
page, the small document to page 5.
Okay. It refers to clause 4 in the bill, which is on page 4 in line 1. Page 4 of the bill, line 1. Okay. Here it deals with the issues regarding education. What we've done here, we've done this in consultation with the state law advisor. We've decided to actually insert a new paragraph E that now...
So what's going to happen to the current E?
The current E becomes F.
Or...
Yes, the numbering will thereafter change. Okay. It's on the screen, you can see that, right? On the screen there, the numbering is changed, but you'd also see that in your incorporated bill. Okay, the new E now reads, subject to the National Qualifications Framework Act of 2008, advise and assist the South African Qualifications Authority as is required under that act. The old E, which now becomes the new F, has been amended. We've deleted the words, the South African Qualifications Authority Act.
Slow, Jessica. Okay, we're now on paragraph, on page 4.
Okay, on page 5 of, we're still on page 5 of your proposed amendment.
On F.
Okay, I'm looking at your small document, page 5 of your small document, right? Mm-hmm. You see item 2 is, after inserting the new E, item 5 then deals with the renumbering of the subparagraphs. Then item 6 deals with the old E, which is now the new F, right? Becomes a new F, and we've omitted in that new F the words the South African Qualifications Authority Act, because that has been addressed in the new E. We just delete that reference, yes. South African Qualifications Authority Act 1995, Act 58 of 1995. Yes. No, that's dealt with in the new E. We just delete the reference to the South African Qualifications Authority because it's been addressed in the new E. The National Qualifications Framework Act repealed the South African Qualifications Authority Framework Authority Act. Sorry. May I proceed? Okay, we're still on page 5 of the proposed amendment document. Sorry, I was just going to take you one page back on the bill. Page 3, line 50. there we've got the words, we've deleted the words. There was a proposal that the words, the reference to national public works, the words public works must be deleted. Those words have been now deleted. There. The proposal and was to have that just a general reference to national policy. That has been deleted and effected in the incorporated document. Thank you. On page 5 of the proposed amendment, item 8 refers to page 4 of the bill in line 21. Here we're dealing with the functions of the council. Line 21 says council will provide advice if requested by the minister. There was the suggestion was that we incorporate, or if the council deems fit and necessary. So it will not be subject to only a request by the minister, they can as well initiate. Yeah. So we have incorporated those words in the bill. The same has been done on page 4, line 25. The same insertion has been put into the bill. Okay. May I proceed? Okay. On page 4 of the bill, in line 27, after the word gain, we've inserted, the suggestion was to insert the words and maintain. So it's for professionals to gain and maintain international recognition. To establish mechanisms for professionals to gain and maintain international. That has been incorporated in the bill now. Okay, we're on page.
To announce that I must leave.
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered whether that is what the committee decided on that one, because my note says that it was a mechanism for professionals to maintain, because they already have, they already have international recognition. It was just to maintain.
To gain and maintain, I think presently the EXA Council has international recognition. We would also want to establish mechanisms to gain international recognition for other professional boards, and also in respect of possibly new professional boards to be established in terms of Section 15(1) of the bill. So that is why we would want and we should have gain and maintain international recognition.
I think that is correct, because we said we need to be, the level of other boards as well should actually be really taken to the level even upper to EXA, because you can see the boastfulness of EXA is that they're internationally recognized, and that to gain means that even for them, EXA as well, you don't know if they're limiting themselves in terms of that international. So, I'm sure even themselves, they have to gain something more than the countries they're dealing with. Perhaps, in most cases, they think they can't learn anything from Cuba or Brazil, but as a matter of fact, we know that they can.
I still maintain, I regret to announce that I must leave. So the whip of the committee must come and sit here. can't do otherwise. I've been skipping many meetings. I need to go to this one.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, we're on page 6 now of the proposed amendments, item 11. It refers to page 4 in line 29. This is one of the park issues that we addressed earlier today. After the word boards, we've inserted the words taking due cognizance of the differences between the professions. Okay. May I proceed? Okay, still on page 4 of the bill, in line 41, line 41, we've deleted the reference to the South African Qualifications Authorities Act, which is going to be repealed by the National Qualifications Framework Act, and that's what is inserted in that section. It now reads, consultation with the professional boards, obtain recognition for professional boards as professional bodies. In the National Qualifications Framework Act, they are referred to as professional bodies, so that's why we've inserted the word professional before the word bodies in terms of the National Qualifications Framework Act. And you'll see there the deletion we've deleted the reference to the South African Qualifications Authority Act. Okay. Still on page 4, line 46 of the bill, we've inserted the word section 4 that is being inserted after the word off on line 46. So it'll read in terms of Section 4 of the Higher Education Act. Okay. Clause on page 5 of the bill, you'll see we're still on page 6 of the proposed amendment, item 14. Clause 5, on page 5 of the bill in line 41, one of the comments raised or suggestions was that we actually, the reference to identification of the type of work, we should make reference to the word scope of work, because that's what the bill talks about. The use of the word identification of works is actually from an old concept coming from the existing legislation. And we have to align that to the new wording. We've amended the words delete, we've omitted identification of the type of work, and we've inserted acts contemplated in section 31, 30 subsection 1. 30 subsection 1 talks about the scope of work. Deals with 30 subsection 1 deals with the defining the scope of both the scope of work. So, sorry. Yes, it's on page 13 of the document that's in the bill incorporating the amendments. Can I proceed? Okay. Still on page 6 of the proposed amendment, clause 6, item 15, on page 5 of the bill, in line 49, we have to amend the 6-1, clause 6-1A. We've deleted the words, for every professional board, each professional designated by the professional board in question, and inserted one professional of each built environment profession. So we've inserted the words of each built environment profession so that the provision now reads one professional of each built environment profession. We did this to avoid the situation of the boards recommending and designating persons to the council who would represent the respective professional boards. On the clause that follows there, 6-1-B, we inserted the words at the end of that provision. We've inserted the words who is registered in terms of the Act. This was to ensure that the person appointed took a person nominated to the council who is employed by the department is a person registered in terms of the Act. page 13 of the incorporated bill, 6-1-B. Still on page 13 of the incorporated bill, you'll see on 6-1-D, the similar words have been incorporated, who are registered in terms of the Act. Here it's to ensure that persons who are persons employed by the state who are nominated to council and appointed to council are registered professionals. There was a housekeeping issue there that we've also addressed. We've amended the word that, or substituted the word that for the word than. That was just a mere housekeeping issue. Okay, we are on page 7 of the proposed amendment, item 18. On page 5 of the bill, in line 57, after the word representative, we've omitted of whom at least 3 and inserted the word who. So the provision now reads, six community representatives who must have expertise necessary for the proper carrying out of the functions of council. Item 19 on page 7 of the proposed amendment refers to page 6 of the bill, line 9. Okay, I think this is Ashley. Okay, we are on page 6, 6 of the bill, line 9. The words, after the word if, the words any professional board contemplated in subsection 1, paragraph A, or the statutory body referred to in subsection 1F has been deleted, and we've inserted a generic term, entity. Can I just go through that again? Okay. We've deleted on page 6 of the bill, line 9, okay, after the word if, we've deleted the words any professional board contemplated in subsection 1A or association in 1F, right? We've inserted the word of in the entity. So the section reads, if any entity referred to in subsection 1F failed to designate, 1F, you read 1F, it's the, any, 1F, 6-1F refers to two persons designated by Higher Education South Africa. So if the entity referred to in 1F, Higher Education of South Africa, fails to designate a professional or professional person, then the minister may designate.
Subsection 6-1F. Says in terms of the people that will be delegated into the council, two of those persons must be designated by Higher Education South Africa. And then down it says, if that entity fails to do that, the minister may appoint somebody. But that's correcting that, because in the original bill it's reading if any of the professional boards, when in actual fact that appointment is supposed to be done by Higher Education South Africa.
In essence, what does that mean? Does that mean if perhaps the Higher Education South Africa does not appoint anyone, the minister may appoint? Does that mean the minister might appoint anybody or someone in that field? I mean,
within higher education, yeah. Within that field, yeah.
Do we need to specify that? Can we get Adhikari?
Can we get your...
Sorry, I missed that. I picked up another issue that I'm discussing with you.
There's something that, I think it's 7F. It says two persons designated by Higher Education South Africa. But then further, it also said, if the Higher Education South Africa does not appoint, the minister may appoint. Is it necessary? I'm just thinking, what if the minister appoints anyone who's not from higher education? Should we be specific that minister appoints someone in that field? What I mean?
Yeah, can you just give me a minute to find the relevant clause?
The minister will appoint someone from higher education because the composition of the council requires that two persons must be appointed from higher education. So the minister cannot, when exercising that power, appoint someone other than someone from higher education. Sorry, we've noted that and we've amended it on the aid list, right? And on the reference in the bill, or in the bill of incorporating the amendments. Okay. You'll see it's already, amendment is done on the screen. Okay. The next amendment is, I'm on page 7 of the proposed amendment, clause 7, item 14. It refers to page 6 of the bill, line 40. This is just a housekeeping issue. The word "my" has been substituted for "may." May I proceed, Chair? Okay. Item 15 refers to page 7 in the bill, line 6, sub-clause 5. There was a request to provide a time period within which the minister will establish a new board. Once the old board is dissolved, the existing clause 5 has now been made a subparagraph A of clause 5, and then we've inserted a sub B, which reads, the new council must be constituted within 90 days of the dissolution of council in terms of paragraph A. May I proceed? Okay. We're still on page 7 of the proposed amendments. Clause 15, item 18. On page 10 of the bill, in line 18, this was to address the concerns by AXA regarding the a number of members to a professional board. We've substituted 20 for 30 members. Now reads that for the appointment of not more than 30 members to the professional board by the minister. It's on page 25 of the bill incorporating the amendments. Still on clause 15. Page 10 of the bill in line 24. We've deleted the words "not less than." It now reads 20% of the members of the professional board must be community representatives contemplated in paragraph B. Okay, thank you. Okay, we've inserted the new, on page 10, line 31, a new subparagraph G has been inserted. It reads, for the appointment of the professional appointed by the minister in terms of 6(1)(a) to be an ex officio member of the relevant professional board. Do you have that? It's on page 7. Yes, it's on page 7. It's item 21. Yes, I said let me deal with that because the item 20, because of the insertion of the new G, then item 20 comes in the renumbering of G to K. You see, we've inserted a new G, right? So that now will result in the existing G to K being renumbered. Yes, the existing G now becomes H, and then the other clause all are. All right. So that is item 20 there on your A list. May I proceed? Okay, sorry. Item 20 should have been deleted there because it's been dealt with under item 22, the renumbering, the correct renumbering there. Okay, on page 8 of the proposed amendment, clause 16, item 23, on page 11 of the bill, line 15. Sorry, Chair, can I take it back to clause 20, item 20 of on page 7 of the proposed amendment? At the beginning of clauses 6G to 6K in the bill, we need to insert the word 4. Yes. So we won't delete the 20, yeah, sorry. And then item 22 deals with the renumbering resulting from the insertion of the new subparagraph G. Okay. Page 11 of the bill, in line 15. This is to cater for the or make provision for the NQF. We have inserted a new paragraph, subparagraph B, which reads, subject to the National Qualifications Framework Act, advise and assist the South African Qualifications Authority as is required under the Act. You'll see this is the same amendment that was done earlier on in the bill. And then the existing B in the bill becomes a new sub. C, it's amended to delete the words, the South African Qualifications Authority Act, 1995, Act number 58 of 1995. That reference is deleted because that act will be repealed by the NQF. And reference to the NQF is now being made in the new sub B that's been inserted. Resulting from the insertion of the new B, subparagraph C to K will be renumbered to D, to read D to L. Still on page 11, line 27, the reference to the South African Qualifications Authority Act 1995, Act number 58 of 1995, is replaced with National Qualifications Framework Act 2008. Okay. Item 27 on the proposed amendment document. On page 8, refers to page 12 in the bill, line 4. There again, reference to the South African Qualifications Authority Act 1995 is replaced with National Qualifications Framework Act of 2008. Then, still on page 12, line 26, subclause 5. We say that clause has to be will now be deleted. That is deleted because the professional board, in terms of the NQF, does not have automatic status as a professional body as defined in terms of that act. They would now, in terms of the NQF, will have to make will have to reapply to for status or recognition as a professional body in terms of that act. So that's the reason for the deletion of that provision. That provision basically says, as it is now, that it is a quality assurer in terms of the South African Qualifications Act. But in terms of NQF, it doesn't have automatic status. A reapplication will have to be made. Okay. There's no 5 anymore. It's deleted. Subsection 5 of 17 is being deleted. The entire subsection 5 of 17. In terms of the NQF, they would have to make an application to be recognized as a professional body, as defined in terms of that act. May I proceed? Page 9 of the proposed amendment document. Item 29 deals with clause 25. Clause 25 is on page 15 of the bill, in line 40. After the word may, we've inserted the words in consultation with the minister responsible for education. So the section, the clause will now read, the minister may, in consultation with the minister responsible for education and after consultation with the council, prescribe the qualifications obtained by virtue of examiners conducted by an accredited educational institution, etc. The amendment is on page 38 of the document incorporating the amendment, the bill incorporating the amendment. Page 38. page 15 in the bill, line 40. Okay, you will see if you look at the bill incorporating the amendments, page 30. Yeah, clause 25. 38. Page 38, yes. The amendment is reflected there. The minister may, in consultation with the minister responsible for education. When I talk about page 15, line 40, that's of the existing, the bill. We agreed we're going to do it in that. Okay, the next item, 30, deals with clause 28. In the bill, it's on page 16. In line 29. Yes, that's the heading of the section. This was there was a request that the wording be amended to align it to the clause. And that's what we've done. We've deleted the word certain, registration of certain persons. The word certain is deleted, and we've inserted the word not permanently resident within the Republic. The heading now reads, registration of persons not permanently resident within the Republic for education and training purposes. To align the heading with the content of the clause. Thank you. Clause 40. On page 24 of the bill. It's done clause 5.10. It was addressed in, the amendment was addressed in clause 5.10, item 14. I think it's item 14, let me just check. Item 14, if you look at page 6 of the proposed amendment, item 14, that was the cross-reference between 5.10 and 30. So the amendment now has been made to 5.10 to make to cross-reference it with clause 30. 5.10 now we've basically included the words as in, contemplated in section 31. Okay. Okay, on page 9 of the proposed amendment, clause 40, of the page 9 of the proposed amendment, clause 48, refers to page 24 of the bill. Line 6, after the word professions, we've deleted the word words enrolled at any accredited educational institution. This was to address the concern that students, people had concerns that we were requesting students to actually register with council, and that was to address that issue. And that was to remove the financial burden on students to register for with the professions, professional boards rather. The next amendment is in line 11. 48.1A Roman numeral 3 has been deleted. That's actually the domain of Minister of Education. We've deleted that. So the next item 33 on page 24. Item 33 on the proposed amendment deals with the renumbering of the clauses resulting from the omission of 48.18 sub Roman numeral 3. Item 34 on the proposed amendment refers to page 24 in the bill. In line 47, the word candidate is substituted for the word person. Item 47 in the bill. Line 47 on page 24 in the bill. The word candidate. This deals here with the requirements for a valid nomination of a candidate. We have to replace the word candidate because the word candidate has been specifically defined in the document. And this candidate refers to nominations for appointment to a professional board. So we've replaced the word candidate with the word person. Okay, the next amendment to 48, it's not on the proposed amendment document, nor is it on the document that you have incorporating the bill. This is the amendment regarding consultation with a Parliament when making regulations. Arikari and the A state law advisor has this morning given us the suggested amendment to that, so that is why it's not reflected in the hard document, but it's on the screen if you look at it there. It's not on the old bill. This is an insertion to the bill to provide for consultation or tabling of draft regulations in Parliament. Yes. Okay, so the insertion will read, any regulation made under this section must be for final publication in the Gazette be tabled in Parliament. This will be 48 sub 6. It will be a new sub clause. 48 sub 6. Pardon? Put it back. The last item on the proposed amendment, item 36, deals with, 36 deals with clause 51 on page 26. This is just basically housekeeping, because that on the bill you'll find that there is reference to two sub-twos. So we've renumbered the clauses there. Just go back. So sub-clause 2 to 11 will now read 3 to 12. You'll find in the bill they were previously, or the bill now has two sub-twos, sub-clause 2s. So that was just a housekeeping issue. And those are the amendments, proposed amendments to the bill. Sorry, just one outstanding issue. Yesterday, the department addressed the issue of including a clause on limitation of liability. That clause will be formulated as well, discussed with the state law advisor. We will discuss that with them and have that included as either as a clause, a new clause 51 or a clause 52 that was discussed yesterday at the committee, the insertion of that. The wording of that clause will be formulated and discussed with the state law advisor and inserted in the bill. Those were all the proposed amendments, yes.
Sure. I'm just consulting with my colleague there. Because they're still going to include, can we still pass a motion of desirability? Because I think we need that before everything should be in. I mean, now you're not delaying. You're delaying yourself now as well, because how long would it take you to do that so that we actually are able to vote? Otherwise, you'll have to...
Can we have it for you after lunch? Yeah. Che? After lunch? Yes, yeah. After lunch.
I have to go to a meeting, and I want to vote on this. When we say lunch, after lunch, we say what time? Okay. Okay, 1:30. Okay, 1:30. No, even if the chairperson is not, we'll go and call her, because, I mean, yes.
That was a proposal that the department made yesterday, that we insert that clause I'm not sure if the committee decided that whether the committee wants that clause. As far as I'm concerned, it is settled law that, you know, you can't say any. And I just wanted to point out, you know, often we put provisions in legislation and then when it's read by people, it's like, you know, why is this even in legislation? Because it is strike law. I mean, it is settled. You don't say anyone who murders his employee would be punished. That is a given. So this is also a clause that is perhaps redundant to go into the legislation. And I was just wondering if the committee actually wants this provision in. It's neither here nor there. It doesn't add value.
I know that we want that to happen. We want to see the transitional arrangement and regulation before they are published. But whether that must go into legislation is something else. I think when we were talking amongst ourselves, we said, look, we would want a situation where we know the processes of the work. But whether that should go into the bill or not, you know, I would assume that, I mean, it should be a norm, I mean, for the department to come back, hear the regulations. And but if it has to go, I mean, I don't see any problem. But, I mean, if there's no need, but still we are saying the department must actually bring back those regulations and before they actually been gazetted to us as a committee. Sometimes we, you know, once we pass a bill, we forget about it. And the department, I know previous other departments, they just go ahead and forget as well because we deal with other bills and other issues. But I think perhaps Lydia is here as the head of policy. They have to make it a point that in the process of that taking place even before the Gazette, that is taken to the committee. It might not be this committee, I mean, but anyway.
No. We're talking about two different things, the Honourable Member and I. Now, I agree. Remember, I raised the issue yesterday where we must make provision for the regulations to come to Parliament. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the formulation that the department is now wanting to look at in respect of the limitations. Limiting liability. That was the last clause we left on. We've agreed and there has been a formulation in respect of tabling regulations here, which was my issue. I think it's quite important that the legislature doesn't relinquish all its powers and some delegated legislation, such as regulations, contain huge substantial issues. So that one we've settled. I'm talking about the limitation of liability clause, you know, whether that is necessary.
Even though the member was talking on a slightly different thing to the liability clause, but I thought it's still an issue that the committee will consider under normal circumstances. Anything that we do, like we do with Diana, we report. But again, I'm talking about the coming of the regulation to Parliament. That can still be a decision of the committee because we actually report to this body. You know, throughout the process, we'll be reporting. Even beyond, we need to come back to the committee and report how the legislation is working. So I'm saying the committee can still decide it. To us, it doesn't make much difference because we have to account anyway.
Comrade Chair, the issue of regulations, I think that they are well covered now with that 6 which we have put in there. Now it does not make it optional, or even if we have, let's say, in the next part, because it is going to take about a year to implement this bill. Ne? So it means that even in the new committee, even if all these people are not here, these people are not, so the department will be obliged that before they table the regulations to the Gazette, before they take, they must bring it to the committee. I think we are well covered there. But I think what the state law is saying there is about the issue of the limited liability clause. What did they have? Because throughout, we didn't see anything of that nature. Can they put it up there so that you can see what is involved?
Yes, if the committee wants that, the limitation of liability clause, if the committee wants that, and then we can sit together during lunch to draft something, but I'm saying that is the clause that is actually redundant. There is really no point in putting that in legislation, because there can never be any action based on any bona fide act. So she says no point in putting it in legislation. You know, often we want to put so many words in legislation that actually isn't necessary. It doesn't take the legislation any further. It doesn't make for good legislation to put everything in legislation which speaks for itself anyway. It's like saying in the act that all these people must abide by the Constitution. You know, why do you say something like that?
Yes.
So, sorry for using that example, but that is what I'm trying to say.
The department accepts that it is trans law. I think the idea of including such a provision was just more to give comfort to the members of board and council that there is a limitation of liability, and the comfort was just to give them, or the idea was to give them that comfort when exercising their duties. The department agrees that it is trust law. So the committee can decide A or nay on that, on the inclusion of the provision.
Okay. Oh, good news. So, and you have no coffee.